Bobby and Teresa's driveway is up a hill. Teresa gets aggravated when Bobby parks too close to her car. Bobby, why would you do that? Just thought I would share that with you. Have a good day. Jerry Jr. Amy loves to talk to Jerry when Jerry's been at work, you know, during the day, and Amy's been there with the kids and trying to get things done, and Jerry comes in and walks in, and he doesn't say, "Hey, Amy, how are you? I love you. Good to see you," et cetera, et cetera. He walks in and goes, "What's for dinner?" Man, it makes her blow her top. Jerry, why do you do that? When I walk in and Paula says, "You are so gorgeous as you've always been," and I say, "I have to know it." Paula, why do you do that? Because you're telling the truth. The reality is, in the title of our lesson today, we're talking about that is, why would you do that? There are several people, several folks throughout the scriptures that we can read about that would warrant us to ask the question, why an individual would do what they've done. If you go with me to the book of Judges, we're going to go fast because we're getting started a little bit later today than normal. But I want you to go with me. We're going to fly through some scriptures, but I think it's extremely important that you and I share these together. We're going to be skipping some of them, so I trust that you will be able to read some of these when you get home. In the book of Judges, chapter 11, verses 29 through 39, there's a fellow named Jephthah in the Bible, and he was wanting to have some victory in his life, and he had made a deal, so to speak, with the Lord. And he told the Lord, he says, "You know what? If you'll just deliver into my hand, I will give you the first thing that walks through my door. I will give you the first thing that shows up on my porch." Sadly, whenever that victory came about for Jephthah, guess who it was that came through the door? It was his only what? It was his daughter. So he had to stand because he had already given his word to the Lord. And, you know, so he had to give up his daughter. And you can read about that thrilling example of what I'm talking about. It's a true story. Shouldn't say story. I use the story here as the literal sense. It's not character, it's not fictional, it's the real deal. So he had to end up giving up his own child. He bargained, if I may. Some would say that he actually gambled with his own flesh and blood. And we see that he lost in that, didn't he? Do y'all agree with that? He lost in that. So, you know, you would have to think, well, why in the world, Jephthah, would you do such a thing to bargain and to lose your own family member? It's found in the book of Exodus, chapter 32. There's 10 verses that you can take a look at where Moses went up to receive the commandments and to receive the instructions from God. While he delayed, while he was up in the mountain, there was a fellow that was down with everybody else, and that boy's name started with an 8. Does anybody know? Aaron, very good. So Aaron was down on the ground, and the people become very impatient. And Aaron began to fold. He began to fold under peer pressure. Anybody in here knows what peer pressure is? Sometimes, no matter what your intentions may be, no matter how smart an individual is, no matter what you may have been through in your life, sometimes it's very difficult to deal, if I may, with peer pressure. Aaron was a guy who failed miserably at that. These people began to murmur, and they was griping, and they was mad, saying, "Where did he go? He's not back yet, and so we need to make our own God." So Aaron says, "Well, okay," instead of him stopping him, saying, "You wait a minute. You know, we were led out of bondage and all these different things that had happened, and God has provided for you." What did he do? He told him, he said, "Well, you know, take off the earrings and give me the gold." And they fastened it and they worked it and they made an idol, didn't they? A golden what? Calf. And what did they do? Is it okay to make a golden calf? I have no problem with someone making a golden calf if you've got that kind of gold and you've got that kind of money. Make several calves. Drop one off at my house. But the problem that they have with the golden calf is it wasn't just something that they could have to look at or appreciate. They made it a what? An idol. They made it a god. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. They made it their god, small g. Does that make any sense? So we understand what happened in that situation. The Lord was pretty angry about it, wasn't he? And matter of fact, he even called them what? Stiff-necked people. Matt, are you listening to me in there? He said, "Let my what burn against them?" That's right. He's talking about letting his wrath burn against them. That word wrath means what? What's another word for wrath? Anger. Let my anger burn against them. So it's pretty serious. So he told Moses, "You better get down there. Let's break that down." He said, "You better get down there and deal with your people because they've had enough." I wonder when Aaron was there right in the midst of all that, knowing that he had been chosen by the Lord himself to be a spokesperson for Moses, why in the world would Aaron give in to that? The same question that we can ask ourselves today is, why do we give in sometimes to the things that we do? Why do we say some of the things that we do? Why do we express ourselves sometimes in the way that we do when only it brings pain to other people? Why is it that we talk about people? Why is it that we gossip about people? Why is it that we're always trying to bring somebody else down? Why is it that so many people today are trying to climb to the top and they don't care whose shoulders are standing on? Are y'all getting the picture? Why is it? It would warrant the question, why would I do that? Why in the world would you do that? Why would we talk about the people that we're supposed to care about? Why would we not be there for people that we care about? Any of this making sense to you? Why would you do that? In the book of 1 Kings chapter 13, if you look at verses 1 through 24, there's a man of God that was told by the Lord to go out and to go to a certain place, and he says, I don't need you to carry anything with you. Basically what was happening, let me paraphrase this for you since it's a long passage of scripture there. He was told, he said, you know what, you don't need to take bread, water, food, nothing. You just need to pack up and go. I'll tell you what to do. Do not, you need to go here and back. Is that right? Don't carry food. Don't carry anything else. I'll take care of you. Guess what happened? A deceptor come in. And he also claimed to be a man of God. And he said, won't you come over here and dine with me? And I'm paraphrasing. So won't you come over here and dine with me? Won't you kick back with me for a while, man? We'll have a good meal. We'll break bread together. We'll fellowship, have a good time. Then you can be on your way. The first time that happened, he overcome it, didn't he? Didn't he? All right. And then we see that, you know, he did it good, Teresa. He made it through that first attempt. But does the devil ever give up? So here comes that same guy who's claiming to be a man of, say it, congregation, a man of God. So if someone is saying to you, I'm a man of God, you should be able to trust that person. Is that correct? But that means that we can't trust man, we have to trust. That means we can't have faith in people, we can only have faith in. That means you can't walk by my direction, you got to walk in God's direction. Well, it takes us over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, down to verse 23 here in just a moment, where we're going to look at that a little bit more. Listen, let's wind this up about 1 Kings. What happened with that man of God? Daniel, I'm going to tell you right now what happened to that man of God. He disobeyed God, and he was eaten up, and his corpse was laying on the side of the road. Is that what happened to him? Absolutely. Very serious consequences. So you might want to think, you know, why? I know when I was reading that last night, I kept thinking, why would he do that? I wonder if God has told him not to do it, why did he do it? And then I got to thinking, well, who do I think I am? Many times God has told me in his word not to do it, and I did it, and he told me to do it, and I didn't do it. Is anybody else guilty? So it reminds us that we don't have the luxury in life to make a decision or to decide on what we're going to do that God tells us to do and what we're going to omit, the things that God tells us to do. We are to be faithful, dedicated, loving people of Almighty God. Amen? We are to love God, to worship God in spirit and in truth, and remember who we are. We are our brother's keeper. Amen? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been created by Almighty God, and God had made us in His image, in the image of God. He, them, they created us. Is that making sense? Is that making sense? So I want to make sure that when we think about the lesson today, why in the world would you do that? Why do you think that's so important? Because when we leave the building today, many of us are going to be going different directions. Then tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be going to our jobs or wherever we're going to go, or we're going to be hanging out at the house, whatever it is. But we're going to be faced with some decisions, aren't we? Aren't we? On this side, aren't we? All right, so we're going to be faced with decisions. So I'm hoping and praying that the decisions that we make will be based on what God's guiding us to do. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So let's make sure that the things that we are participating in cannot compromise our walk with God. Make sure that the things that we participate in would not blow our identity as a Christian, but making sure that we bring light to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, what does the Bible say? Let your so shine before that they may see your glorifying your, which is where, Bobby? Absolutely, which is in heaven. So remember that. Then we go down and we talk about Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and also 10. There's a fellow in the Bible name was Jonah. Has anybody heard of Jonah? Jonah was told by the Lord himself to go to Nineveh and to cry out against Nineveh. Basically, what he told him was, you need to go and preach. Nineveh's kind of getting cruel. They're getting pretty vicious. They're not doing the right thing. They're acting terrible. Is that what he basically told him? So he told Jonah to do that, but Jonah went another direction. He went to Joppa, and he caught a ship, got on the ship, and he just kind of went floating around trying to do what? Flee his responsibilities, wasn't he? We understand that he landed. He ended up being on the very bottom of a ship, and the Bible says he was fast what? He was fast asleep. What was he trying to do? He was trying to ignore his responsibilities. So when we think about what Jonah did in the bottom of the ship, all of a sudden, what began to take place? A great big what? A great big storm began to take place. And they began actually throwing a few things overboard, but that didn't calm the storm, did it? The ship was still bouncing around. Things were still pretty bad. So long story short, it ended up being that who was the problem? Jonah was the problem. Was Jonah, did he go over the sides of the ship? Did he land in the belly of a great fish? How long did he stay in the belly of the great fish? And 3 days, 3 nights, Jonah was there. While he was there, do you think he had time to recollect? Do you think he had time to think about, you know what, God told me, if I'd have just done what God told me to do, I wouldn't be in this situation. Isn't that right? Now, I may have been doing something I was uncomfortable with. He told me to go out and cry out against Nineveh. All I had to do was open my mouth and preach to them, but I decided I would do something different. I decided that I would take it in my own hands. I'll do what I want to do with no regard as what the Lord told me to do. And as a result, here I am in the Whale Hotel. Is that right? So while he was in the belly of the great fish, 3 days, 3 nights, if I may, that part was an add-on. That's not true. But it was a great fish, wasn't it? While he was there, this is a jury lad deal only, but I think he repented. Because the Bible says that he prayed earnestly to the Father, didn't he? And he was praying to God, and do you believe for one moment that he wanted another chance? All right, so he did want another chance, did he? Can you imagine how bad that place smelled? Now, I've worked with decomposed bodies before. That's pretty nasty. I know that, Esther, you've been around folks that have passed, and Teresa and anybody who's been in a nursing hospital environment, so we've been around that. And I'm telling you, I don't know that anything would be as bad as being alive inside of the belly of a great fish. It would definitely, and dark and nasty and seaweed, that enough would kill you. I had a seaweed burger one time in Florida that he made me eat. I thought death was upon me, and I repented of all of my sins, every one of them. But what he did is he prayed unto God, and what does the Bible say that the big fish did? Did he puke him out? All right, just want to make sure y'all with me. I just kind of like. So the Bible says he threw him up on the shore, and what did he do then? Did Jonah begin to do what God told him to do? Did Jonah do what God? It's going to make it go quicker. I'm not going to complete it to you. Agree or say no, Jerry? That's not what it says. So the reality, I was up late night studying, so you're going to be studying today. Because we love God, right? We love His Word, don't we? Then let's share it together. I'm not the preacher, we're all preachers. So we understand that he repented. God put him back out on the shore because the big fish burped him up, threw him up, whatever you want to call it. Did God give him another chance? Did he do good for a while? Did he start acting a fool again right after that? That's a great big yeah. The reality is this. He was fleeing his responsibilities as a follower of God. Wonder why he would do that. Why would you? Why would you do that? Do you think anybody in here could be classified as a Jonah at one time or another? God's told me to do things I didn't do. Told me not to do things that I've done. I'm not proud of it, but I'm learning from it. Thank you, Lord, for what we read about Jonah. Amen? In the book of Acts, chapter 5. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, we read about someone we've looked at several times throughout the passages and throughout the time that we've shared together. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, this is a situation that we better read about. Go. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, what'd they do? Kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought it and laid a certain part of it at the apostles' feet. Is that right? Who was that apostle? All right. Peter said, Ananias, wife, Satan filled your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was not your own. After it was sold, was not in your own control. Watch how this is directed, Rob. This is very clear. Watch this. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You notice how God says, I had nothing to do with this? Did you ever catch that before? Why have you, listen, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You, watch this, have not lied to men, but you have lied to who? You lied to God. Wouldn't it be a good time to say, Ananias, why would you do that? Why would you want to lie to God? But let's just go a little further. Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down because he tripped over this man's feet. Thank you, Brother Larry. So he breathed his last, and what happened with that? Great fear came upon all those who heard about it. Is that right? Young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and what did they do with him? It's about 3 hours later when his aunt came in. Good. Glad y'all paying attention. Came in not knowing what happened. Peter answered her and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yep, sure did, didn't she? Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together? Now, listen, I want you to remember this. And I know I'm being a little bit of a bully this morning when it comes to this passage of Scripture. But I want you to remember the yous and yours. Is that okay with everybody? Watch this. Then Peter, this is that the man of God, right? Not the one we read about in Kings, but this is another man of God. How is it that you have agreed together to test the Holy Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried, give me the next word, your husband are at the door and they will carry you out. Are you noticing that they took it upon their in their own hands to do what they did, and now the ones that did that, Jerry, are now being punished, aren't they? You agree? They're being punished. They're dying. They're dead. What? Pretty serious, isn't it? All right, then immediately she fell down at his what? Breathe her last. Does that mean she was DRT? Dead right there? And the young men came in. How'd they find her? And they carried her out, buried her right beside her ex-boyfriend because she was cheating on him. I think Sapphira was cheating on Ananias and she got caught. Ashley's back there saying it's probably not what happened. So great. Great fear came upon all those that heard these things. Amen. So Ananias and Sapphira had a pretty good thing going. I leaned back. This is another Jerry deal. But I leaned back to probably what was going on in Acts chapter 4 when Barnabas was doing what he could do to try to help the church and do all that. Maybe, just maybe, this is just speculation that I've been thinking about. Maybe Ananias and Sapphira, I think they had some pretty decent intentions. Or did they? Maybe they wanted their recognition. Barnabas was doing what he could do. Ananias and Sapphira says, hey, wait a minute. We can sell some land and we can give back, give part of the money and make a shine. Look what I'm doing. Look everybody, look what I'm doing. That didn't work, did it? What they got was, look what I'm doing. I'm taking my last few breaths because I'm lying to the Holy Spirit. How many Ananiases and Sapphiras are in this congregation today? How many Ananias and Sapphiras are in our own families today? Are we getting that? So it makes you wonder sometimes why Jeremiah said what he said. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23, the Bible says, it is not in man who what? To do what? To direct his own steps. So that passage of Scripture, clearly it conveys itself to you and me very clearly that you do not have the authority, the biblical authority. You can't make it on your own, and nor can I, right? Neither can I. We can't do it. We will fail without God. Amen? Even with God, we're going to still falter and fail from time to time. How do I know that? Because the Lord told me that. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, for all have and fallen of whose glory? Of the glory of God. Well, then, well, that's okay. I mean, God expects that. It's all right. It's okay if we sin. Well, I'm a little worried about that too because I have to go back to 6:23, Jerry. And I have to look at what God says. He said, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, when I think about that passage of Scripture, Gene Piercy, what comes to my mind is, well, then I need a Savior, right? You agree with that, Margaret? Nancy, are you with us? So I know the Bible says that we're all sinning. Well, that means I need a Savior. Why do I need a Savior, Teresa? Because Romans 6:23, Esther, says, for the wages of sin is death. Are you going to work today? Or you got to go to Vanderbilt? So when you go to Vanderbilt today, you're going to donate your time, right? No. Are you going to clock in? Or if you're on salary, whatever. So the reason you're going to work today is because you're going to work a certain number of hours and you will receive wages for your time worked, right? Don't you give up money to Jerry. He'll try to con you out of it. Don't do it. Give it to this Jerry. I'll say thank you. I'll do it like Joel Osteen. Thank you so much. And so the reality is your wage, you're going to receive a wage when you go to work today. The wages for sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know, some folks got on me for imitating him a while back, so let me do it again. Isn't that good? Isn't it good, Bobby? Okay. So the wages of sin is death. Well, all that being said tells me why in the world we should not be following after mankind. So, Daniel, if you know that things hurt you, why do you do it? If you know that things are hurting you spiritually, why do you do it? Jerry Jr., if you know that we shouldn't say this, you and your dad shouldn't say that, why do we say it? Larry, if you know that you shouldn't participate in that, why do you do it? Rob, the question's the same all the way around, right? You remember what we started out with? Their driveway, Bobby parks right up against it. It aggravates Teresa. She's going to make him leave one day. He's not going to have a home. He's going to be knocking on your door and my door. What, Teresa, why? Bobby, why would you do that? The reality is that we have to ask that same question. Now, let's break this down. It's 11:05. I've got several passages. Do you want me to finish this next Sunday or do you want me to fly through it today? Huh? Okay, y'all won't answer me. Let's go. Here's why we can't do it. I'm going to get you out in about 15 minutes. Y'all, it's going to take a minute. Dang, nice. I was thinking, man, I'm going to fix a guy here. Go give me a lesson on the got next week. Okay, never mind. So in Jeremiah 10:23, the Bible's pretty clear, isn't it, about not following, that's not true, about not directing your own steps, right? Isn't it a good thing not to follow after man since we can't even direct our own steps? Do you agree now that it's important, of soul-saving importance, that we follow God and only God? Let's talk about why really quick. The book of Luke, go there with me. Luke chapter 12. By the way, this lesson has no points. As far as like the 1, 2, 3. Look at Heather back there going, yeah, we see that. Well, that was ice cold, you and Rob Jr. It's all right. They can get by with today. Next Sunday, I will be, Lord willing, sitting right there during Song of Solomon. I'm going to ask all kind of questions that I have not asked yet. So get ready for that, big boy. All right, Luke chapter 12, y'all ready? 16 through 21, go with me. Then he spoke of what to them? Ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall, watch this, give me the next word. Since I have no room to store whose crops? So he said, who's going to pull, what? What does he say? So he said, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will store all and then I will say to my soul, you have many goods left for many years, take your ease, eat, drink, and be miserable. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you, then whose of these things be which you, Mr. Big Guy, think you did it all, that you provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself. You're not rich toward God. You're a knucklehead, is what the Bible says. Seriously speaking, paraphrase, but that's what it says. You who think today that you've busted your tootie, got where you got, I've done what I've done, I have worked and worked and worked, and this is what I've done, you haven't done squat, and neither have I. Do we get that? It is God, Esther, that gave you the ability to do what you're doing at the hospital. Jerry, it is God that gave you the ability to do what you did at Pharaoh or that whatever the name of that place was that, over here, wherever you was. It is God that gives me the ability to embalm a body or to help direct a funeral. It is God that gave you the ability, Larry, to do what you did in Darlene. Do we get this? Seriously speaking, it is God. You're not doing it on your own. Please understand that. So make sure that we give God what is his. Mankind today, would you think that he is selfish? Very selfish. Because you know what we're selfish on? I think that people in here would share with one another if we ask you for it. I really do. I think this congregation would share with each other. But we're selfish because we don't share with enough people just who God is. We're selfish with God, aren't we? Aren't we? You know what? We'll tell people, I'll call Ashley and say, man, sir, pizza Charlotte Pike was killer this week. It was delicious. You know, and then we'll share all these different things about different things, but we don't really talk enough about our Heavenly Father. Mankind is selfish. Is that right? Also, mankind, would you think that he's unforgiving? In the book of Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15, the Bible makes it clear to us. Anybody got that passage open? Matthew 6, verse 14? Come on, read it. Next. Next. Excellent. And then later today, read Matthew 18, 21 through 35 about the unforgiving servant, the unforgiving individual, if I may, on how he didn't want to forgive, and boy, was there a price to pay. Do you think today that mankind is pretty prideful? Yes, they are. They're full of pride. We think that we're everything when we're nothing without God. Is that right? Luke 18, 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. Let me get over there. Is that Old or New Testament? The Bible says, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Watch what happens here. Is everybody with me? We're in verse 10 of Luke 18. Two men, the Bible says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other was a... The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. He goes on to say, I fast twice a week and give all the tithes that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, he would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat up on his breast, saying, God, please, just be merciful to me, a what? A sinner. Then, watch 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself, you're going to be humbled. He who humbles himself, the Bible says, you will be exalted. You will be lifted up. So you have in those two, I shouldn't say characters, people have a tendency, well, they are characters, it's a parable. So these two characters that was talked about in the Bible, one was full of pride and one was full of humility. Is that right? Which way do we need to be? She's testing me. Good job. So we have to be humility, though. We have to be humble. Good job. Actually, keep me on my toes. All right, so we also know that there are some people in this world that are vain. Y'all remember that song? You're so vain. You remember that song? I got some Church of Christ music going. Look at Heather back there. Heather's already, she can't do that move again. Y'all remember? I'm not going to do that one about my hiney's clean. You remember that with that commercial? I ended up getting four rolls of toilet paper and three pair of underwear out of that. So that's a long story for you, those of you who don't know anything about it. Okay. So mankind is vain. We see that in 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20. What about stubborn? You think mankind can be stubborn? Do you think that's man only that can be stubborn? Do you think women can be stubborn? I'm married for 40 years. I don't know what y'all are talking about. Go with me to Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but they better do this. They better keep what? Thank you, Bobby. And may not be like their fathers. Uh-oh. I don't know if everybody's reading this. Everybody there? If you're there, say amen. All right, watch this. And may not be like their fathers. Give me the next few words. There it is. A generation that not set its heart right. And those, whoa, my goodness. In whose spirit was not faithful even unto who? So I don't want to be part of that, do you? No, we can't follow mankind. We got to follow God because mankind are pretty stubborn in their ways. They want to do it their own way. What about being hypocritical? Are there hypocritical people in the world today? Are there hypocritical preachers out there today? Absolutely. Are there hypocritical leaders of the church out there today? Absolutely. Is there hypocritical members out there today? The one that said no is a hypocrite. I'm just kidding. Totally, I'm only serious. But hypocritical, you know, we can all be hypocritical at times, right? Nothing that we're proud of. But that's why, listen, seriously, that's why it's so important that we're continually studying the Word of God. Because, and I'm being very serious, things that I've done in the past I didn't think were so wrong until I got further in His Word, then I discovered they was wrong. So we need to, that's why we have to do and better do what God's calling us to do, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. What about this? Is mankind today money mad? They'll sell their family, won't they? Seriously. Look at all the people that have sold their family out. There's a minister that I know that's passed on right now. He lost his marriage, lost his family, lost everything. And here's the reason that they said it, because he was so wound up in religion that he couldn't even see his own family's needs. And I think that can happen. Matter of fact, Jerry, you and I both know of this, somebody that it happened to. And it's a sad, this man was a wonderful man, a wonderful preacher. But he let things get out of hand. Got to keep things in line, don't we? Got to keep things in line, don't we? According to Scripture, not what may say. All right, you think that people can be glory hunters looking for all the glory? Think that happens today? Who do you think some of these television evangelists, who do they want the praise going to? They want the praise going to them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew 6. Go with me 1 through 8 real quick. Matthew 6, 1 through 8. Now remember, y'all the one that told me to finish this. So no complaining. Take heed. Well, listen, here we go. So some people look for all the glory. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Is that right? Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father, which is where? Number 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you that they have their what? But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your... that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will himself, he will be the one to reward you openly. 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner. Stop right there. They love that praise. They want people watching, don't they? So they're doing all these elegant prayers, if I may, and eloquent speaking. They're doing all those things. But how far do you think that prayer is getting? If they're doing it for the wrong reason, it's what is we describe as a ceiling prayer, isn't it? That's about as high as it's going to get. So make sure that we're not glory hunters. Make sure that we're not worldly. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or things in the world. Is that right? There's three things in it. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of what? So if you're caught up in that, you're hell bound if you don't get forgiveness of it. Does that make sense? That's another reason we can't follow mankind, right? Also, he's lost. We looked at Romans 3, 23 and 6, 23 a while ago. Now, let's get ready to close our lesson. It's the fastest I've talked in a long time. All right, so what do we do? We've already looked at some things and we asked the question, I wonder why a person would do that. And then we looked at why we can't follow mankind. Well, then what do we do? But if I close a lesson now, would you agree you'd be going, okay, then what? Is that about right? Well, let's close it right now. Look at this. First of all, let's make sure that we remember God's promise. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, latter part of verse 10, the Bible says, be faithful unto death and I will give you the what? Thank you, Darlene. I'm going to give you the crown of life. We need to trust in God for our permanent home. That's what we need to do. That keeps me going, knowing that this place, man, this is not my home. I like it here. I love the people. I love what's going on in my life. But, man, I don't want to stay here. I want to go to my place in heaven. Amen? John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus says, I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am there, that you'll be also. That word also ties us up, that there's going to be more than one, right? Very good. So also remember Romans 10, 13, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Now that's more than verbal utterance. Some would say, well, no, that's all the Bible says, Jerry. Is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not true. Because Matthew 7, 21 says, not everyone who calls on the Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Is that pretty clear? So don't be walking out thinking you all that about just all I got to do is call. No, didn't work. Matthew 28, verse 20, we'll know we need to trust in God because he will never what us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. Do we need to trust in his promises that he will never leave us or forsake us? Absolutely. Matthew 28, 20, Hebrew 13, verses 5 and 6. Now, let's hurry up. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, that workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that tells us that we are to continue in his word. Yes or no? And then closing, pray earnestly. Luke 18, 1, man ought always to pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 17, pray. There it is. Now that's a list, but not limited to that list, about things we need to do for Jesus Christ and for our own salvation. Amen? So as we leave today, and we're talking about that, and maybe we're faced with decisions, if Jesus looks at us and says, why would you do that? Make sure that we'll have a good answer for that. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account for what we've done, whether good or today. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, you need to become one. Hear it. I gave it to you. Believe it. I showed you in the Bible. Be willing to repent. Change the way you're living. Start living for Jesus Christ. Make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Be faithful unto death. And always remember that we are indeed. Maybe there's other needs in your life. Let the congregation know. Let us pray with you, for you, help you, and encourage you. If you're subject to the invitation, come now as together we stand and sing.